At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Let me read after you that last verse. Blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial, and so on. Then verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, he is being tempted by God. Wait a minute. Whoa, stop, punt. Oh, hey, what's trial got to do with temptation? The trial comes first. It's the besieging of the walls. It's wearing down you. That's what the trial does. Get you. I don't know about you, but I do it every Monday. I do it every Monday. On Sundays, I pour myself. I'm on a high climb, but I am wore out come Monday. I've talked about this before. My wife, try to talk to me on Monday, my girls, and it's going to go right on over. I'm tired. And to be honest, I'm not the best father and dad on those days. I'm really not. I'm weak. I'm tired. I work on it, but I'm getting there, right? So he talks about trial and then moves to the concept of temptation. Let no one say he's tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Now listen to this. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. When desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin has fully grown, it gives birth to death. I think we all know how the Samson story ends. So when each person is tempted and lured and enticed by his own desire, NIV, I think, says dragged away. And you go, wait a minute, there's a difference between lured and enticed and dragged until you're trying to resist the rocky road and then you being drugged. I just can't help it, man. A gallon of ice cream was there and it drug me along. So the both words, you're enticed and then you're drug into this by what? Your own desires. This idea of this dragging, enticing, there's unabridged Greek English lexicon of the New Testament, because I got to give credit. The metaphor here is taken from a hunting and fishing metaphor. As game is lured from its convert, the place it is, so a man by lust is allured from the safety of self-restraint to sin. It's illegal to bait bears or any animal to hunt them. But this is sort of like, it's like laying out the bait because you know that bear's going to smell the bacon. And then it's going to react instinctively by its pattern and draw. But that's why they say it's illegal. That's unfair to hunt that way. Now, the interesting thing is, as you look at it, and forgive me for the Greek, okay, but it's in what's called the present passive nominative singular masculine, right? You got that? There's going to be a test next week. Okay, no. Anyway, here's the point. It's the idea of a continual action. You're always being baited. It has to do with a lifestyle. We like to think that if I live long enough and grow long enough, I will no longer be tempted by that thing. Yeah, right. But you're habitually being baited. But the thing you recognize this, you cannot be enticed by what you do not want. Yeah, you can write that down. You can't be enticed by what you don't want. Now, I don't have it up, but I had picture up, I was going to put up, of broccoli and Brussels sprouts. Now, I had Brussels sprouts last night for dinner. But most of you go, Brussels sprouts, no thanks. You're not, even if I fry them in bacon grease, you aren't tempted. You could only be lured in, dragged away by something inside you want. No, I like veggies. I even eat lima beans, okay? So, see, people go, ooh, lima beans. Doesn't entice you at all. It does me. Okay, when my dad eats lima beans, so when I go to his house, we sort of like argue over who gets the last one, all right? But that's not going to happen with most of you. There has to be something in you that likes it, wants it, before you can be enticed by it. That's something you must understand. Samson didn't get this. He thought he can go to Timnah. He thought he can go to Gaza. Not a problem. Let me take you, and I think the next one. Yeah, the parable of the seed. That's where Jesus comes along, says the word is like a seed, and it's thrown on the different soils. And he says one of the reasons the seed, that is the word of God, doesn't take root is it's choked out by desires, same word. See, here's one. I know the Bible says that, but I want to do this. I know this isn't beneficial to me in my walk with Christ, but I want to do this. That chokes out the word that's given. One of my most frustrating things is when I counsel people is you give them the word of God and they become Elmer Fudd, right? They hunt yabbits. You guys know who Elmer Fudd was? Okay, cartoon, Bugs Bunny. Am I too old? Do I need to do a SpongeBob analogy instead? Okay. But Elmer Fudd was always hunting Bugs Bunny. He was hunting, remember he had a speech impediment. I'm hunting wabbits. Okay? And so I give people the word of God, yeah, but. That just tells me this. You have a desire that wants to keep you from what I'm showing you the word of God says to do. Well, yeah, but see, okay, Pastor, I had this problem. See the internet? But Pastor, man, I got to have it for work, and I can't wait for my wife to log me on. In other words, you like that thing. You have that desire, and you're going to walk into Timnah, you're going to walk into Gaza, and think because you had time with Pastor, it ain't going to get you. Happen all the time. But I can't do that. See, my case is special. I'm Samson. I'm strong. I can do it. Yeah, right. I had a conversation with someone this week about prescription meds. Good luck thinking you can take them and not be addicted. Good luck. I know you're special. You're immune to it or something. Then why are you taking it? And I'll tell you, you get addicted first emotionally before you ever do physically. Why? Because the illness, the thing, I've been there. I've been clinically depressed on medication after my back accident and surgeries. And I'm weak. I'm vulnerable. And they had me on meds. You know what I liked best? Is when you took the meds, I was just more pleasant. Things were just nicer. Come on, you've been high before some way or another. Okay, don't play religion on me. It was the emotional side of it first, to the idea of getting off them and having to face the mental struggle of being physically broken every day. I didn't like that idea. But eventually, too many women, in a sense, that's my analogy, I recognize what it cost me was too much. And the grace of God, I don't know how else to say that, okay? So, what do you do then? You're weak, you're tired, you're vulnerable. What do you do? Well, we see it right here. So, flee youthful passions, same word, translated passion. These desires, lust in the King James, okay? But we tend to think of lust having to do with physical relationships more than we do anything else. But I'll tell you, you get me around a 68 to 70 Mustang, I lust. And I ain't got nothing to do. Okay? My son-in-law came back from vacation, and he went to somebody's house, and they had just the sweetest 69 Shelby. And you guys who don't know what I'm talking about, see what I'm saying? The guys are going, oh, and the lady's going, what? Okay. All right. But you flee it. Now, I don't know about you. Here's what we tend to do. And young people, listen to me. When I was a youth pastor, got this question all the time. Pastor, on dating, how far can we go and it still be okay? That ain't fleeing, folks. That's saying, how far can I go into Gaza without getting in trouble? How close can I get to the cliff without falling off? That's just stupid. It's like saying, I'm going to jump off this cord with this bungee cord that's never been tested, that I don't know where it came from. I don't know who, man, if I'm going to jump off this bridge with this bungee cord, ain't no way. Yeah. Or a parachute that I don't know who packed it, kind of thing, okay? Flee it. Flee it. But notice the other side. Now, flee here. What's the next word after passions? And pursue. See, we think we can run one way, and then I'm going to stop right here. No, no. If you flee, now chase something else. If you give up, and you've seen this before, somebody quit smoking, and they gained 35 pounds. Because they replaced smoking with a rocky road. All right, that's just a natural example. God's saying when you're going to flee these lusts, you need to replace them with something, with pursuit. That means intentionality. You have to be intentional about what? Pursuing what? Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. That sounds great, but what's the next part? This is what throws people off. Along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. What's that mean? Church. I don't know how else to say it. It's us. It's, look at, you think you're going to flee without our help. It doesn't happen. This is why I tell you, you get this, get your wife's help, let her put the blocker on. You ain't going to do this by yourself. So you pursue this thing. How? Come run the race with me. As we pursue it, as I try to pursue righteousness, and the Bible tells us, when I fall, there's someone there to pick me up. And when you fall, there's someone there to pick you up. As we pursue, and our faith is tested. How is faith tested? We've already read it. Trial. So if you pursue faith, guess what's coming? Wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. The reason I'm not pursuing the other bad stuff is because I want life to be better. I understand, but if you want your faith to grow, the difference is you're doing it with someone. Now, how many of you like sit down and one night grab yourself some popcorn, watch a movie? I don't like watching a movie alone. That's not even a trial. I just want that's fine, you see? Yeah, nobody here. I've done it before. Watching a movie, I don't want to watch Finding Dory without my kids. Finding Nemo, that's what it is. Finding Nemo without my kids, because that's a dad-son thing, right? So that kind of thing. So, but we're supposed to be doing this together. And look at it is intentional. You know, well, I tried, and nobody came over and talked to me. That ain't intentional. That's sitting back and waiting it to happen to you. That's called passive. You're supposed to be pursuing these people who are doing these things. Flee and pursue. If you want to see a good reading on dying, killing sin in your life, John Owen, what's the name of his, we'll call it book, paper, The Mortification of Sin, wrote in 1627. It's a really great read if you want to read it. I was just reading some of it this last week. I know y'all think I'm nuts, but you got to understand this is going to happen more. And 2 Timothy 4:3 says this, for a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching or doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. Nobody, I don't need no doctrine, man. Just give me the love of Jesus. That's all I need. Why? But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions. Same word. Okay? So that's why if you have a Word of Faith group, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to be rich and healthy, the crowd is huge. Because when I give you, tell you, you're going to get what your passion's for, what you want, what you're desiring. It says they're going to gather these teachers to themselves. That's the kind of world we live in today. Try to talk about sin in the... I got to keep moving. According to 2 Peter 2:11, that it says, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. I want to let you know, soul is also your emotions. Your mind, your will, your emotions. The message you have probably got in, most of them, like me, are self-inflicted. I'm doing a Samson. They do more than make sin. They wage war against my very mind. 20 years later, you're laying in bed and saying your prayers, and a thought comes through your head. Remember that stupid you did? God don't need to listen to your prayer. Still waging war against my mind, those fleshly passions I pursued. Now, if you don't do this, this is what happens. We're back in James chapter 1, verse 15. When desire, that's these passions, you haven't fleed from them. You think you can do it without fleeing. You could just be in the same vicinity, in the same room, and it ain't going to get you. When desire conceives, I wonder if there's any rocky road in a freezer. I wonder if it's the kind with the little nuts, you know, and the really creamy. I'm now conceived. Arlene's looking. Hey, okay, it's. Is that blue bunny in there, or is that dryers? I'm now conceiving. It's building up. It's starting to. So Samson goes down to Gaza, and he sees the woman. That's it, right? Oh, no, no, no. Before he goes to her place, he's conceiving. He's contemplating. It's in there. Now, let's get real. We think we can see the woman and not even think about it. Whatever your thing is, may not be a woman, whatever your struggle is, you think you could be in the room with it and it ain't going to get your attention. Really? Why do you think alcoholics say this, I will never touch one again? Because all they know is just one. How many remember the potato chip? You can't eat just one. Go ahead and try. Go ahead. You know, if you're not a potato chip fan, you go, I don't care. Well, what's your thing? Ice cream sandwiches? Whatever it is. Okay. Now, ready? Krispy Kreme. Who can eat just one? Do you guys know what Krispy Kreme is? Yeah. Who can eat? They melt in your mouth. You've eaten one and you don't even know it, so you might as well have another. That kind of thing. We think that. But wait a minute. But when it gets conceived, it's going to give birth. It's going to give birth. Just let me share with you, Bill. I'm concerned about Kathy, you know, just so you would pray with me. And I think I can just spit this little thing out, pray for Kathy because. Yeah, and pretty soon, 15 minutes later, you're still talking about Kathy. That's called gossip. Bible says that ranks right in there with adultery and the other sins. But I thought I could just say it in some religious way, and it would sound okay then, and therefore I won't gossip. Yeah, right. It will give birth to sin, which leads to death. What kind of death? All kinds. Death of relationships. Death in certain parts of your life, because here's what's going to happen. You get hurt enough, you're going to build walls. You're going to petition off that part in your heart and your mind, and that just might as well be dead, because you ain't going there. I don't want to talk about that. You've pushed it out of your life in that sense, okay? And just so you think that it's interesting, this whole story, he tears down the gates, he goes here, and listen to the last line. And after this, he loved what? A woman. What kind of woman? A Philistine woman whose name was Delilah. First thing first, Samson would never get past the pain, the difficulty. He always went to something that he thought would fix the pain that looked familiar to him. And the whole thing, the thing that ends his life is, and he fell in love with a woman. Now, nothing wrong with women. Don't take it that way. I'm talking about Samson. He keeps going to the same thing, looking for a way to heal this hurt, to find fulfillment, and ultimately leads to his own death. So let me just summarize this way. One of the things as trial comes, we need to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, as Paul puts it. Recognize your trial is for your benefit, that all things work to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But recognize that Samson, God is in this. We saw that in chapter 13. Why can't you recognize this, Samson? You think it's all about you and your little broken heart. Reckon, you got to give joy to the Lord in your trial. And you've heard me say it before, I'm going to say it again. You will not do that unless you practice first. Now the question is, have you practiced it enough that it comes as habitual as the rocky road? That it comes as habitual as he went and he saw? Do you default to the praise in the trial? The only way you're going to do that is you praise him when there's no trial. You give him thanks, glorifying him and all that he's done before the trial comes. And when the trial comes, guess what comes out? And a good example of that is you watch enough movies where they swear all the time. I'm not saying you're going to hell. Don't blame me. Okay, you do that. Okay, and I have been with some of you. And then you smash your thumb. And it ain't tongues. Why? Because you've habitually listened so much so, and then when I ask you about a movie, I say, is there any swear in it? And you say no, then I put it in my blocker, and it blocks half the movie. You don't even see it. It's default. Can you make it so you default to praise? When the doctor says, I think that's cancer, can you praise? Yeah. Can you praise? Can you praise? Okay, then you're going to default it in the trial. Do that. Then second, when you know you have a weakness, flee. Don't even go to Timnah. Don't even go to Gaza. Go around the block. Take 10 blocks over. Avoid that person that continues, sucks you into the mess. Get away. That person, every time they talk to you, they want to talk about others. And you get sucked into gossip. You want to take their phone number out of your phone. Pull them off the quick dial at your house. Break it off. Flee. Then pursue. Find somebody that every time you try to go, did you know, they go, what you doing, man? We don't do that. But then that makes me feel uncomfortable. You bet it does. Pursue righteousness. Follow those who do. And when you do get in the place where there's temptation, baby, run. Young men, listen to me. Look at me. Young men, look at me. When you see her with the top to here and the little shorts to here, you better flee. She may not be that kind of girl, but trust me, you are that kind of guy. Ladies, if you hear him say, if you love me, you would slap him upside the face, call your daddy, and get out. Amen. Oh, come on. It's just a little drink. It's just a little toke. It's not just one time there, Andrew. Get on that phone. Dad! Give me that advice one more time. Samson never ran from the temptation. And I'll end with one illustration. His name was Joseph. You're talking about trial. His own brothers sold him as a slave just because one of them convinced him not to kill him. He's in his master's house. And then she comes with a crop top and little shorts. Yo, Joe. He runs, right? Now, wait a minute. Does that mean he doesn't face trial? No, because she falsely accused him now. He's innocent, and he goes to prison. But I'll guarantee you this. He didn't sin. He had developed a run reflex. Man, young people, you can save yourself a ton of heartache if you will develop a run reflex. Okay? And your mama and daddy are trying to set some boundaries because they know you're stupid and ignorant. Did I say that out loud? Yeah. They know that your brain don't make good decisions, so they try to set these boundaries for you because they remember how stupid they were. They just ain't telling you. They're trying to help you because they know at moments you won't run. This is when you look at them and say, I'm going to pursue righteousness. Dad, Ma, let's go do. All your friends are over there wanting to go. And Mom, Dad, let's do. Why? Because they wear cool clothes? No, Mom, Dad probably wear dorky clothes. But then you're joining those who are pursuing the things of God. And then Dad, after a while, Dad will look at you and realize you're a responsible young man or woman. And he'll say, do you need the car keys tonight? Why? Because he sees you know how to run. Let's stand. As I am, remember this guy named David. Right? He got up on a rooftop and he saw. And he did not run. It's because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, but that's another issue. Father, we again thank you for your word. It is so practical. It comes and touches us right where we live. We thank you, God, that you wrote it this way with all these messed up people that it can talk to me. But God, we need to take that seed and let it get deep in our heart. Father, help us. Help us, I ask God, to flee those passions, to not make decisions in those moments. Help us, God, to pursue. By your grace, give us what we may not even have on our own. Father, that we might glorify your name in how we live daily. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.